Tonight's Gospel is from John chapter 13. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all these things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. And for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Every parent has dreams for their children, and I am no different. I love all my children. I feel blessed to have two sons and two daughters. They are each so different and unique. Isn't it funny how our children often embody the best of us and the worst of us, and then have that just right dose of their own personality? It keeps us as parents feeling amused, perplexed, and slightly annoyed. My twin daughters, Sarah and Elizabeth, are amazing women. They are smart and skilled at many things. My wife thought I was being rebellious, but I made sure that they knew how to tie knots, fish, garden, and build furniture. They both marry good and kind men who appreciate my daughters. My two sons are Andrew and Simon. Andrew is the youngest. We thought he was going to be another girl. When he was born a boy, we named him Andrew, which means man. Andrew is quiet and hardworking. He rarely complains. He actually rarely says much at all. He is just an easygoing, easy to have around, good guy. Simon is my oldest. We named him Simon because his name means hearing. Even as a newborn, Simon listened. He took everything in. As he grew, I couldn't help but notice that he had the gift of not only listening to people, but also of hearing what people were not saying. He is intuitive, intelligent, and like me, impulsive. Fishing is a demanding vocation. You have to be physically and mentally able to handle long hours of hard work. Simon is both. He also has a way of knowing where the fish are. But what made Simon such a good fisherman is that he is so good with people. A true businessman. People might come to us feeling angry or upset, but when they left, they were laughing and smiling, shaking Simon's hand like he was their new best friend. That is not something you can teach a person. You can teach them how to tie knots, how to read the seas, but reading people like he can is a gift from God. Yes, Simon was a good businessman, and he had an equally good heart. One day I saw him give a woman some extra fish. We all knew that she only had money to buy enough fish for her own family. But as Simon wrapped up her fish, without her seeing, he put twice the number of fish in the package. He knew her story and what she wasn't telling him. After her husband's brother died, his wife and her four young children came to live with her family. They could barely afford fish for her own two children, and now there were five more hungry mouths to feed. He just couldn't help himself. He had a wife and he desperately wanted a child. He knew what it was like to love his family. Once the woman was off the dock, I called to Simon. He studied my face. He knew I knew what happened. "Father, I am sorry. He began, but I interrupted him. "Simon," I said, "I am proud of you, son. Whatever you do, don't ever lose that compassionate part of you." My business partner Zebedee and I were planning to turn our business over to our four sons, my two, Simon and Andrew, and to his two, James and John. Zeb's my best friend. Our boys are like brothers. They work well together and share our values. It was just getting harder and harder for Zeb and me to take those long trips out on the boat. That all changed rather quickly. Simon and Andrew became very caught up with a new teacher. He was rather a wild and crazy man named John. I thought the man spent a little too much time alone, wearing heavy furs and eating insects in the hot sun. My sons were intrigued by his ideas. In John's message, Simon told me he was heard something deeper. It created a yearning with him. For what? Simon wondered about that. He sensed it was a sacred yearning. A yearning for more. A yearning for God. That yearning became too much for him to deny one day. I don't blame him. Not at all. It wasn't my dream for Simon, but a parent's dream is not always the same as their child's dream. And sometimes those dreams change. How can I fault him for following his heart? His good heart that I am so proud of. A heart for God is the best kind of heart. Even it is one that does not always make sense or one that we don't always understand. And to introduce him, Simon and Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, he called Simon and Simon followed him. So did Andrew. Simon changed. It was not a bad change, but he changed more so than Andrew. Simon felt a loyalty to Jesus and that yearning for God grew stronger. Jesus even changed his name to Peter. "You are a rock," Jesus explained. Simon was my rock too. I missed him terribly when he was gone for long stretches at a time. When he came home, he couldn't wait to tell me everything he had seen and heard and done. One day I finally had to tell him and Andrew that Zeb and I were turning over the fishing business to our daughter's husbands. They understood. Andrew promised to still help out. Simon looked at me a long time. I tried to hide my hurt, but I knew he saw it. "Papa," he said, "there is something about this man Jesus that beckons me. A sacred truth, a holy way to live, a deeper understanding of God. I am learning so much. I don't want to disappoint you. It kills me, but I have to do this." In a strange way, I understood. I knew Andrew would be back to help me, just as I knew Simon had to go. I loved my son. I saw the agony in his eyes, so I did what I knew was right. I gave him my blessing. He fell at my feet weeping. I pulled him back to his feet and embraced my son. I looked him in the eye and said, "You are no longer Simon. You are Peter. But do not lose who you are. Who you are is a gift from God. I am proud of you, son." Now time had passed, and I admit it, I am very frightened for him. Everything is turning upside down. At first, people were intrigued and celebrated the great deeds and teachings of Jesus. But now, everyone knows the authorities are seeking to arrest him. Some are calling for him to go on trial for treason. Others are demanding his death. There are rumblings of a revolution. Jerusalem is in an uproar. It's hard to know who to trust anymore. Who is right? Who is wrong? And where God is in all of this. Jesus is in the center, and so is Simon. I fear for Simon. Andrew, I know, will stay in the background. He will remain in the shadows watching. That is his nature. But Simon cannot help himself. He will try, but soon enough he will be back in the thick of things, led by his heart. Yes, I worry for Simon. I worry a great deal. With all this turmoil in the city and spreading throughout the whole countryside, what will become of him? What will become of my son? Although Jesus teaches about God and a new way of living, that we are to love one another, I see such hatred brewing among the religious authorities. It worries me. Who is right? Who is wrong? How can we tell anymore? I cannot help but ask, is following Jesus worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth risking your life?